Hey, honesty time. If you are here and you're single, has anybody ever said one of those things to you? Raise your hand. A couple people, okay. Now, if you're married and you're in here, have you ever said some of those things to somebody? Raise your hand. Okay, honest. Oh, a lot of honesty. Okay, let's get a little awkward. I was born without that awkward gene, so I don't feel it. So if this is awkward for you, I apologize. Okay, so let's be vulnerable for a second, okay? If you're here and you're single, raise your hand. Raise your hand real high if you're here and you are single. Love it. Awesome. Okay. So if you're here and you're single, let's be vulnerable, and you want to remain single for the rest of your life, raise your hand. Okay. I saw some married people raise their hand. Put your hand down, okay? I know you, sir. I know that you are married. Okay. Let's see here. What was the other question I was going to ask? Okay, so if you're here and you're single, but you would like to someday be married, raise your hand. Okay, gentlemen, did you guys see where all those girls were sitting? I am setting this up easy for you. I'm just kidding, kind of. You should go talk to her afterwards. Okay, so anyways, well, today we're going to be talking about what the Apostle Paul had to say about marriage, but also singlehood, what it looked like to be a single Christian. So if you have your Bible, open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 7 first, and we're going to jump down to verse 25. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 7. But before we do that, let's pray together. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be together today. God, we just want to welcome your Holy Spirit into this place. God, I just pray that you would be glorified. God, I pray that you just help me to speak clearly. And God, I just pray that you'll be with us this morning. It's in Jesus' name, amen. So before we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, I want to say just a few things. In the American church, I don't think we've done a very good job with making single people feel very welcomed or wanted in the church. I work with a lot of single young adults, and I hear all the time that people in the church want single people to be married. And then when a single person goes to a married person to kind of talk through how they wish they were married, a lot of the married people are like, well, you just need to be content with your relationship with Jesus, which is not very helpful. I mean, it is, but it's just, they feel like they're very unwanted in the church. And so they end up feeling guilty for wanting to be married. And so if you're here this morning and you're single, I just want to say a couple things to you. The first thing is, man, we are so excited that you're here. I am so pumped that you are here. I believe God has you here for a reason and for a purpose. And the second thing is, if you're here and you're not married, but you want to be married, it is totally okay to want to be married. I just feel like someone needs to say that in the church. Like, it's okay to want to be married. Okay, now that I got that off my chest. The big idea for this morning, for all of us this morning, the big idea for us is that being single is a gift and not a curse. Being single is a gift and not a curse. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:7, but I wish every one of you were single just as I am. Each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. And if you're here and you're single, I know exactly what you're thinking. If being single is a gift, God, you can have this gift back because being single is really, really tough. Or some of you are here and you're like, you know, I got this gift that's singleness, but God, I'm the gift, Lord. It says Rebecca, but actually, God, I go by Becca, so you must have given this gift to the wrong person because I really, really want to be married. This isn't a gift for me. But just like marriage is a gift, being single is a gift. God has designed the relationship of marriage to be the most common expression of love, most common expression of human life in an intimate way. And marriage is the only relationship in which sexual intimacy is allowed to happen. That is God's design and that is God's gift, but it is not the only design of God. It is not the only gift of God. God has designed that some people be unmarried, and that too fits in God's plan and God's purposes. So being single is absolutely a gift. It is a gift that some of us will experience for only a short time, but it's also a gift that some of us will experience our entire life. So in the next few moments, we're going to talk about how being single, how singleness is a gift. But before we do that, let's jump into 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to jump to verse 25. We're going to go all the way to 35. It's a little bit of a big chunk, so hang with me, okay? And I'm not a very good reader, so if I stutter, I'm sorry. So Paul says, "Now about virgins," that means people who are unmarried, "I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries," that means unmarried, "she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in life." All the married people said amen. "And I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as they do not." Context is everything, gentlemen. Don't use that. Don't use that later, okay? "Those who mourn as if they did not, and those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, and those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away, and I'd like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. And I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord." Now, in this chapter, Paul is explaining the virtues and the blessings and the importance of being single. In verse 25, he says, "Now about virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy." So what Paul is saying here is, I can't quote Jesus on any of this. There's no gospel record where Jesus goes in depth talking about singleness. So, but what Paul is saying is that as an apostle, as one who is appointed by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, he can speak with authority on this issue, saying that he can speak with wise counsel. He can give wise counsel on this issue. And his wise counsel comes in verse 26, where he says, "Because of this present crisis, that it is good for man to remain as he is." So Paul says, it is good to be single. And that's exactly what he said in verse 7, that is good to remain single. If you are single, it is good to remain single as he was. So those who are unmarried, those who are widowed, it is good to remain single. So it is good to remain single. It is not bad. It's good. And it's good for a number of important reasons, as we're going to see through the rest of this chapter. The first reason we see being single is a gift. It's good, but it's also a gift. The first reason we see being single is a gift is being single frees you from the problems of marriage. So if you have your sermon note section, you can write this down. Being single frees you from the problems of marriage. Maybe the reason, if you're here this morning, maybe the reason you are single is not because God is against you, but actually God is for you. We need to understand that some of us in this room, the best thing for you right now is to be single. Now or maybe forever. That is the best thing for you because marriage brings problems. In verse 28b and 32 through 33, he says, "Because those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. I'd like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided." So in Paul's thoughts here are simply this: when you get married, you have problems. And this is so, so true. Okay, we got to pause. We got to stop for a second. Maybe you're in here this morning and you're dating or you're engaged and you're like, you know, Adam, you just don't know us. You don't know. Nobody has ever loved as deeply as we love. Nobody has ever cared for someone like we care for each other. Married people, give me a break, right? I remember when... My wife, her name's Kirsten, and her and I remember saying that to her, literally saying, "Honey, I don't think anybody has ever loved as deeply as we have loved. And I was like, what problems would we ever have in marriage, right? And then I got married. And now my wife has a huge problem, mainly me. I am the big problem in her life. She's not here, so I can say whatever I want, which is great. So my wife and I, her name's Kirsten, we got married September 15th of 2012, okay? We got married September 15th, 2012. We moved to Wisconsin, and I started a new job as a youth pastor all within 2 weeks. So got married, moved to Wisconsin, and then started a new job, 2 weeks. Don't do that. If you're single, gonna get married, don't do all that life transition. Like most people do that in like 5 years. We did it in 2 weeks. Do not do that. And so, but we decided to do that, you know. And so I was a youth pastor, and I had a few really strong male leaders, but my wife was the only strong female leader that we had. That's key. That'll come into play in a minute. And so we really struggled with community. You know, we didn't really have a whole lot of people in our stage of life. So after a few months, we actually met some friends, and we were at their house, and they went to another church. But so we were at their house and playing games and all that fun stuff. And some of the girls were like, hey, Kirsten, we have a all-female Bible study that meets on Sunday nights. We're going to do this for the next 3 months, and we would love to have you. And I remember hearing this. I'm like, Sunday nights, that's the same time we have youth group. There's no way Kirsten would ever agree to that. I mean, she's my sweetheart, right? She's not going to leave me for this. And so I was just like, she's sweet. She's going to say no. And so we went home, and we went to our loft apartment, which was awesome. And so I remember sitting downstairs, and she came downstairs, and she's like, yeah, typical, like, being married for two months people stuff. She's like, hey, sweetie. You know, I guess she still says sweetie. But she goes, hey, sweetie, I think I'm going to join the girls' small group for about 3 months. So I'm going to leave your youth group. I'm going to leave you. That's what I heard anyways. Like, I'm going to leave you for 3 months, leave you stranded with no female leader, and I'm just going to go and be in a Bible study. And I looked at her, and I felt this feeling come over me, and I'm like, we're about to have our first fight. This is gonna happen, you know? And I feel so bad for her, but I just freaked out. I was like, how could you leave me, you know? Like, I'm your sweetie, we're never gonna have problems, right, you know? And then, of course, it ends with her crying in the bathroom and me just yelling at the TV downstairs, you know? Like, that's kind of funny. I mean, it's funny now. Two years later, that's funny, but it's not really funny, I guess. I'm glad that I can laugh about it now. But it's so true, marriage is hard. Marriage is hard because we are responsible to please each other. Marriage is hard because we are responsible to please each other. 1 Corinthians talks about, there's a section in there that says that our bodies are not our own, but they belong to each other. But it's way, 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 way more than that. We have a responsibility to our family. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:8 that anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Paul says if you don't provide for your family spiritually, physically, and emotionally, financially, it's worse than being an unbeliever. So men, we have a responsibility to lead our family. Our wives and our kids' spiritual lives are on us. And that's really tough. And ladies, you have a responsibility of helping raise your kids, helping provide for your family, helping provide for your husband's needs and your family's needs. All those things are on you. And this is incredibly, incredibly tough. For those of you who are in here this morning and are married, you realize how tough marriage is. But in the church, I feel like we just kind of glamorize marriage. We make it into something that might not necessarily be. I feel like we never warn people about how tough it is, and we glamorize it. We think it's for everyone, but it isn't. In fact, because of the problems of marriage, it seems to me that Paul would say it's better to remain single. The next reason we see singleness as a gift is because singleness, being single, allows you to have undivided devotion to God. Undivided devotion to God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:34 through 35, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. I just want to stop right there for just a moment. If you're in here and you're single, this is huge. This is key. This is the point. The point of singleness, the point of your singleness is to have undivided devotion to God. So whether you're single for a short time or you're single for a long time, the point of you being single is to have undivided devotion to God. Which is why Paul said in Corinthians 7:7, I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that. Did you see that? Did you see that singleness is a gift? Meaning if you are here right now in this room and you are single, that is God's gift to you right now. Even though it may not feel like a gift, maybe you're saying, God, why am I not married? Or God, when am I going to get remarried? If you're here and you're single, that's God's gift to you. Think about it. And married people, you get this. You may not have the distractions that most married people have, like a husband. Worried about a husband, or worried about a wife, or worried about your kids. You can be 100% devoted to the mission and cause of Christ. When Kirsten and I first started dating, she said, hey, I'm going to go to Africa for 3 months and student teach. I mean, we're not married, so I'm sure, okay, goodbye, you know. And there's no way she could do that now and leave me. And there's probably no way I could ever go to Africa because I can't get on a plane for more than 20 minutes. There's just no way. When I was, things are just different when you're married compared to when you're single. When I was, before I dated her, I was in Michigan. I was a college pastor in Michigan, and we had two different services at two different campuses. So on Tuesday nights, we'd be at Adrian College, and we'd start at 9, end at 11 p.m., go to Applebee's, and we would leave Applebee's around midnight, and I would drive an hour home and get home around 1 a.m. Turn around and do all that on Thursday at Siena Heights University. So Tuesday nights and Thursday nights and a few other nights, I was getting home around 1 a.m. When I'm single, that's great. You know, it was an awesome time to hang out with college students, get to know them. It was awesome. I could do that when I was single. Now, if I got home a few nights a week at 1 a.m., you better believe my wife would have something to say about that. There's no way that would fly. Things are just different when you're single. And so if you are single right now, God is screaming down to you right now, do not waste this time in your life. Do not waste the time God has given you to be single. Do not waste the time God has given you to be single. That's what I love about our young adult ministry. I lead a young adult ministry called The Net. We meet every other Sunday night from 6 to 7:30 in room 202, shameless plug. And it's awesome. That's what I love about this singles culture. It's because they can see a need or they can see a crisis and they can go at the drop of a hat. They can just go. You know, if they wanted to go to Haiti on a drop of a hat and serve, they can go. If they want to go to Africa, they can go. If they want to go to inner city Chicago and help out with Miss Pearl, which we're going to do with The Net this summer, they can go. If they want to go help inner city students in Indy with City Mosaic, they can absolutely go. They are free. You are free to do whatever God is calling you to do in that moment. Do not waste the time that you have right now of being single. Don't waste this time messing around with different people. Don't waste this time living only for yourself. Don't waste the time playing video games. Use it now and go serve God in the ways that He is calling you. If you remember this point, you will never have more undivided time to serve Christ than you do when you are single. You'll never have more undivided time to serve Christ than when you are single. Please do not waste it. The next reason we see singleness as a gift is being single gives you the space to work on yourself. Being single gives you the space to work on yourself. I listened to a series a few months before I got married from Andy Stanley. He's a pastor in Atlanta at North Point Community Church. And he was in a series called Love, Sex, and Dating. And he posed this question. Are you the person you are looking for is looking for? Let me explain. He shared a story of a young girl who had went to college in Atlanta, graduated, and was really in the full-on dating scene, dating several people, messing around with several people, in the party scene, club scene, like really heavy in that. But she grew up in a Christian home. So after a while, she kind of wanted to get back to her roots, and so she joined a small group at North Point. So she had one foot in this whole party world, club world, drink world, you know, that world of singleness. And then she had one foot in this Jesus world, church world. And so he shares a story where she was at the co-ed small group, and she met this guy. He was tall, dark, and handsome. Looks a lot like me, probably, I can imagine. I don't know why people always laugh at that. And it makes me insecure. No. And so she met this guy that is, you know, he's handsome. He's got his own business. He has his own car. He doesn't live in his parents' house. All the single women said amen. You know, like, and he really loved Jesus. He was really pursuing the Lord. And so she was really excited about this guy. So she went home for a vacation and she talked to her mom and she was so excited. She goes, oh, mom, I have to tell you about this guy. You know, he has his own car, has his own business. He doesn't live at home anymore. And he's just really pursuing Jesus. It's just awesome. And remember, she had one foot in, one foot out. And the mom looked at her with full compassion. The mom felt full compassion on her and said, oh, honey, but a guy like that isn't looking for a girl like you. And he said that she collapsed in her chair in a puddle of tears because she knew her mom was right. So I just ask you, if you're here and you're single, are you the person you are looking for, is looking for? You know, I met my wife through Brandon Files, who's on staff here, and his wife Lisa. But before I met her in college, I was an absolute mess. And there's no way a woman like her would have ever dated a guy like me in that stage of my life. So what about you? What are the things that you need to work on before you meet your future spouse, if God allows you? What are those things that you need to get out of your life? Can I just offer you a couple suggestions real quick? If you're here and you're single, two suggestions that I wish I would have worked on before I got married. The first thing is to fight for purity. Fight for purity. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'll probably say it three more times. But if you don't remember anything else, remember this. The habits you create while you're single are the ones that you will take into marriage with you, whether good or bad. The habits you create while you're single are the same ones that you'll take into marriage, whether good or bad. So fight for purity now. And the second thing is to consider counseling. Consider counseling. That's something I wish I would have done way before I got married. My parents got divorced my senior year of high school, never really dealt with it, and I carried a lot of those emotions, a lot of those struggles in a marriage, and it caused a lot of fights and just a lot of things that we didn't need to go through. And so for you, what are those issues that you need to work through? Consider counseling. Be physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually healthy before you go into marriage, before you get married. And if you're here and you're single again, can I just offer a few things to you? This is the first thing. God is a good father who gives good gifts to his children. God's a good father who gives good gifts to his children. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly father give good gifts to those who ask him? If you're here, you're single again. He is a good father that loves you. He has something special for you. Trust in him. Trust in Jesus. The second thing, if you're here, you're single again, God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. Psalms 37, 3 through 5 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Trust in Jesus. He sees you. He has not forgotten you. If you're here and you are single again, he sees you. He sees you. He has not forgotten you. You're on his mind all the time. He has not forgotten you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, God, when am I going to get married again? I don't know why he left me. I don't know why she left me. But God, when is this going to happen? I promise you, he sees you and he loves you and he has not forgotten you. So if you're here and you're sitting there and you're single again, say this to yourself. Just say, Jesus, I don't know what you have for me, but I will choose to follow you. When you wake up in the morning, Jesus, I don't know what you have for me, but I will follow you no matter what. I may be single again. I may never get married again. I don't know what you have for me in the future, but God, I will choose to follow you. And now lastly, for the married people, I did not forget about you. You're not off the hook. Married people, A few tips for married people. We have a texting, a mass texting thing for our young adult ministry. And so I can send out a text to a lot of people, and then they can send me a text back. And so I sent out a question. I said, what are some of those things that married people say to you that are more harmful than helpful, okay? And so some of these I didn't really think that they were possible for people to say, but they are. So the first one is, I guess it's not too bad. It probably has good intentions. The first one that a lot of people said was, people say to them, you are such a catch. How the heck are you still single? Raise your hand if you're guilty of saying that. Yeah, someone is. Exactly, I see you. The second one was, you will find her or you will find him when you stop looking for him or her. Now, Scripture does say he who finds a good wife finds a good thing. So finding involves searching and looking. So that could just be bad theology. Another one. There's a lot of truth in this one, but it might not be just be content with your relationship with God, which is, that's true. I didn't really, when he said this in the video, I thought he made it up. But apparently people say this, let Jesus be your boyfriend. I cannot tell you how many people responded with. People always just tell me, just let Jesus be your boyfriend. Okay. And this one, I don't even understand. I don't even know I don't know what this is, but number five was, you need to put yourself out there more. Okay. I don't know what that means. And then lastly, someone really responded with this. Someone has actually said this to a person, and I feel sorry for them. Number six, they said, if you don't get married soon, you won't be able to have all those babies that you want someday. That's helpful. Thank you for reminding me that I'm never going to have kids. Awesome. Now, I think most single people understand that as married people, we don't mean anything by that. But I think we can work on how married people interact with single people, okay? So here's a few tips. Here's a few suggestions for you. Number one, if you're married and you interact with single people, ask about their relationship with Jesus more than their relationship with the opposite sex. A few weeks ago, I met with a guy who was single. He's in full-time ministry, and I was just talking to him about being single. What is that like? Kind of preparing for this. And he's like, oh, Adam, I just got to share this with you, and you have to share this with your people. He said that he has people try to set him up all the time. He always has people try to set him up on blind dates. People are saying, oh, you can date my sister, you can date my cousin, you can date my friend of a friend of a friend. People are always trying to set him up, but he says, nobody ever asked me about my relationship with Jesus. Nobody ever asked about my relationship with Jesus. They always ask about my relationship with other people. They always ask, are you dating anyone yet? Are you dating anyone yet? You're getting older, are you dating anyone yet? But they never ask about their relationship with Jesus. And I think a lot of times our intentions are pure as married people. You've experienced the joy and the intimacy of being married and sharing your life with someone, which is awesome. But the point for married people should not be to get single people married. That should not be the point. The point of married people with single people is to point them to Jesus. Married people should always be pointing single people to Jesus first. Because here's the reality, whether you're single or married, listen to this. Here's the reality. If you're here and you desire a relationship or marriage more than you desire Jesus, you're probably not ready for a relationship anyways. If you desire a relationship or marriage more than Jesus, you're probably not ready for a healthy relationship anyway. So married people, point single people to Jesus. Ask them about their relationship with Jesus more than their relationship with the opposite sex. Number two, include single people in your life. Include single people in your life. Most single people are not going to come to you and be like, hey, I'm going to come over. Hey, can you do life with me? Hey, can I hang out with your family? Most single people will not do that because they know that you're busy with kids. They know that you're busy with your husband, busy with your wife, busy with other married people doing coupley things. They understand that you're busy. So let single people know that you want them in your life. A lot of times they feel like they're the third wheel or the fifth wheel. Tell them you are not the third wheel. There's no such thing as a third wheel or a fifth wheel in this household because you are family to us. We want you here. We want to do life with you. And here's a reality. You might be the only healthy relationship. You might be the only healthy marriage they ever get to experience in their life. Like I said before, my parents got divorced my senior year of high school. I never got to see what a healthy marriage looked like until I interned when I was in college at a church with a pastor named Dan and his wife, Kayla. They took me and they invited me, and I never felt like a third wheel. I got to see a lot of good things, got to see a couple bad things that are real to marriage. A couple fights, I was like, oh, I gotta get out of here. But I got to see what a real healthy marriage looked like. And that was a huge step for me. That was a huge step for me in life. That was a huge step in marriage. That was a huge step for me in taking towards marriage. And so include single people in your life. And as we close, as we transition, some final tips for single people. Some final tips for single people. Whether God has called you to be single forever or for just a period of time, remember, being single is a gift and not a curse. And so my question is, will you use it as a gift? Will you use your singleness to have undivided devotion to God, or will you waste it? The first tip, be thankful God has you where you're at right now. Be thankful God has you where you're at right now. Stop wishing that you were somewhere else. Stop wishing you were with someone else, and be thankful God has you where you're at right now. The second thing is use this time to be totally devoted to the mission of Christ. Go on mission trips. Help in the inner cities. Be spontaneous. Say yes to things that you normally wouldn't say yes to. Say yes to serving in Kid City when someone's sick and they need someone desperately to fill in third grade. Say yes to those things. Say yes to a late night phone conversation with someone that you normally wouldn't talk to. Say yes to those things. Say yes to serving. Say yes to going on trips, because you'll never have more undivided time to serve Christ than you do when you're single. The third thing is use this time to work on yourself. Ask yourself this question. Are you the person you are looking for is looking for? Before you get married, if God allows you, get emotionally, mentally, and spiritually healthy before you walk into marriage. And number four, hang out with married people. Hang out with married people. I guess I will. Not all of us go to bed at 8:30. And if you do, I totally apologize, and that's okay. But it's okay to hang out with married people. Obviously, call before you go over there, because things, just call before you go over there. I'm still getting fired for that. Hang out with married people. And then fifth is don't waste this stage in life. Do not waste this stage in life. You will never have more undivided time to serve Jesus than when you're single. So whether this time of singleness lasts for only a short time or whether it lasts for a long time, do not waste this time of being single. In the next few moments, we're going to celebrate communion. We're going to celebrate Jesus, who was a single guy, who lived a sinless life, and went to a cross for you and for me so that we may have life. So what's going to happen is some people are going to come out, they're going to pass around bread, and they're going to pass around juice. Take the bread, take the juice, hold it, and someone else will come out and lead us in prayer, and we'll take it in unison together. So if you will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for this morning. God, thank you so much for the gift of singleness. God, I just pray for the people who are in here this morning who are really struggling with being single. God, help them to realize that you have given this gift for a reason, for a moment. Could be just a short time or for a long time. But God, I just pray that you'd help them to realize it's a gift. Give them peace in this moment right now, God. God, I pray for the people who are here and they're single again. God, help them to realize that you are a good father who gives only good gifts to his children. God, help them to trust you, that you have their best in mind. God, help them to know that you see them. You know where they're at, God. You know their heart's desires. God, I pray that they'll just wake up every day and say, Lord, I choose to follow you. Whether I get married again or don't, God, I choose to follow you. And God, thank you so much for your son, Jesus, who lived the single life, who lived a sinless life so that we may have true life. God, thank you for your sacrifice that you made on the cross. God, help us to never take it for granted. Help us to never forget it. And God, thank you so much for this Memorial Day. Like Greg said, it's so much more than picnics and barbecues, God. Thank you for all those soldiers that never made it home, defending our freedom so we could do what we're doing right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.